Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Listen to every game here.
Back goes Bradley near the center field fence. That ball is gone. A 2-run home run for Wilson Contreras.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Hayward bounces to the right side. This ball game is over as Frazier throws him out. Score at 4-3. The Pirates win 7-1. And it's a very difficult weekend for the Cubs. Against the Pirates.
To shortstop, Nicky Lopez ends the game, and Kansas City breaks the Sox streak against left-handed pitching and salvages a split in extras today. 4-3, your final score for the Royals.
Marketed in play to Levine. Levine against Okogie. Comes up shooting, short, hit front rim. Rebound Minnesota, and there's a foul in backcourt, and they throw it ahead. And this ball game is over. The officials wave it off and say, this game is over. And the final 121-117 in favor of Minnesota.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Just an awful day yesterday in Chicago sports. The Cubs lose, the White Sox lose, and of course the Bulls now have lost two in a row after winning three in a row. And we thought that they had turned their fortunes around a little bit, but they're kind of clinging to 10th place at this point. And, okay, you get in the playoffs, you get into the play-in playoffs, whatever way you want to term it. They've expanded them now, so there's a four-team play-in that will give you your – yeah. Your seven-game playoff, and goodness gracious, you're hoping to get to six. That seems like a pipe dream. But the Cubs game, for whatever reason, the Cubs two-game set there in Pittsburgh, the last two games, they obviously had Friday off, and they come back with a pair of losses, and they are losses that feature some bad starting pitching. There's no way around that. You saw Davies get run out after less than two innings. You don't see that very often. And then, of course, yesterday, Trevor Williams wasn't exceptionally good. But the biggest element of it might have been the play at second base and the big stink we're making about it and everything that's gone on with Wilson Contreras, especially since they're playing Milwaukee now, the Brewers.
Tonight, yeah.
And, you know, he got hit in that game yesterday, carried the bat with him for a while, the catcher walking with him down the line because he doesn't like getting hit, and he gets hit a lot, and he gets hit a lot by the Brewers. So are we expecting that tonight, David?
Well, I think you're wondering. It's fair to wonder that. I mean, that was just an unfortunate turn yesterday. I do wonder, you know, yesterday was tough. I mean, all three teams lose. You watch the Cubs. You watch the Sox. You think the Bulls are going to bail you out, but no, they decide to lose to the worst team in the NBA, at night. It was bad enough to wonder if talking Bears today was going to cheer people up in Chicago. But you wonder about the Cubs, and you're right, Mully. I mean, this thing with Wilson Contreras is an ongoing conversation because of how often he's been hit by a pitch. Now, you can divvy up responsibility however you want, and that's maybe a different conversation, whether or not, you know, he brings it on himself by where he, you know, his stance is and these kinds of things and his attitude. But I do wonder this. Because he was hit by a pitch and because he walked down to first and wouldn't give the bat boy his bat until the last possible moment, and that you wondered about his state of mind, and everyone was sort of on edge, right? Because he kind of put us there. Did that get in the ump's head at all when they decided to make the call, the judgment call? And it was a judgment call, even though rule 6.01, we can cite it, we can recite it, it's chapter and verse, but it still remains up to the judgment of the umpire. Was that judgment impaired or affected at all by the fact that it was Wilson Contreras making the slide? And boy, Contreras, we know how ticked off he is because he just showed us how ticked off he is. He's got all that inner rage, and he was taking it out on Freeman, the shortstop. So he must have been had ill intent on his mind.
Didn't he say that in the postgame? Didn't he? Was it him? He suggested that they had that in their head when they were reviewing the play, and that they decided that that he was angry about what had happened. Was it him or was it Rossi? Someone said that, or some version of what you're saying exactly there, David. And I'm sure, you know, when they went to New York with that, I'm sure they just looked at the play, and he did kind of go after the exchange man there, and the guy had to jump up, and that did affect the throw to first. So they basically called it a double play after reviewing it. And again, I think we have two different things going on. One is whether or not he actually was out of the baseline, whether he was going at the guy, and the call rule 6.01 was correctly applied there. And then the other one is, why do we have that rule? And right. I hate that rule, and I don't understand why that rule exists. And I think that is, in a large extent, part of the problem, and we don't like that rule. Well, and, you know, we're not looking at it as you know, well, that's why they did it. We're looking at it. They must have, because they applied that rule, they must have done so because they're mad at Willie for the way he responded to getting hit.
I could see that. I could see that that train of thought. I could definitely get behind that idea. Because middle infielders have become sort of the quarterbacks of Major League Baseball. They are protected by these rules. And so, boy, if Wilson Contreras slides 6 inches off the base paths and he can still reach the base with his hand, but boy, he's going after the shortstop. Oh, boy, that's Wilson Contreras, marked man. Okay, he's out. So, I don't know. Maybe that's overreacting, but it was interesting. Okay, we have David Ross and we have Wilson Contreras, Mully, talking about the slide, and this is what they had to say in regard to that.
The only replay I saw was on the board, and it didn't even touch him. It didn't look like he even got him. So it looked like he could reach the base. It looked like he didn't alter his path to take him out from all the replays I saw. So I hopefully there's an explanation.
I don't think I did anything wrong there. I just, like, we didn't reach the base. They probably called me out because I didn't touch the base. But for me, I didn't touch the guy. And if you watch the play, he threw the ball before I get to second base. So I don't know why they call, why they said that I broke the rule slide. But I think for me, that was a clean slide. I wasn't even spikes up or anything like that. We didn't touch each other, but they just called it out.
Interesting.
You know, I got to tell you, I think the reason he's getting hit as much as he's getting hit is because of the way he responds to getting hit. That sounds like a crazy thing to say, but this is now my fear with Wilson Contreras. You know, I get Anthony Rizzo. He is crowding the plate. He is hanging over the plate. And I think that pitchers, especially with left-handed batters, have to control the inside part of the plate. And so they're throwing inside, and he gets hit a lot, and he gets hit more than anyone. But I wonder if Wilson Contreras, if this is an issue of him leaning over the plate or crowding the plate, or if it's an issue of, I mean, when he got hit there, that he got hit like a guy throwing at him. He didn't get hit like there was a bad pitch made. Right. And I wonder if that's now become a thing.
Get inside his head. Let's see if we can agitate him. And the thing is, though, if you're a catcher and you have to spend, you know, the bulk of your season, you know, in a crouch position in front of the home plate umpire, do you really want to get on the bad side of the umpires? You know, do you want to have that reputation that he's, you know, I guess, earning slowly? Maybe teams are trying to get under his skin, so to speak. I think there's one way, you know, as we heard yesterday, again, Ron Coomer said you could alleviate that to some degree, and that is to, you know, get into that old school baseball approach. I don't like that idea. I really don't. I love Coom, but I just don't know how much I don't know what that accomplishes. I don't know if that would end it either. I'm not sure, but I do think that probably Wilson Contreras's personality and the way his reaction to getting hit is probably made it more likely that he's going to continue to get hit.
So, David, if we're both saying that, if we both feel that one of the reasons he's getting hit is because he reacts that way to getting hit, and listen, I'm not blaming him at all, because as a catcher, I mean, good mother of God, you know, sometime go into a baseball clubhouse and see one of these guys with their shirt off or, you know, in their shorts or something. You wouldn't believe the lumps and the bruises all over the body of a major league catcher. It is a terrible position. Those balls that bounce up and hit you, the balls you block, you know, oftentimes they will leave a mark. There are catchers that look like they've been hit by a bat, frankly. I mean, it is pretty ugly if you ever go into a locker room and see what that looks like. To be hit by a couple of those on top of that, I bet that gets real old in a huge hurry. And, you know, A.J. Pierzynski was a guy that teams threw at quite a bit because he was A.J. Pierzynski. I wonder, though, would it be wise going into this series to hit somebody before you get hit? To hit and I you know, we talked about this, about are you going to get tired of seeing the Brewers? And I think you're already tired of seeing the Brewers after that last series. But is it the worst idea you've ever heard to kind of do a preemptive strike, given the fact that you might owe him one? And I hate even bringing it up because I don't believe in the chin music thing, and I don't believe – but I'm talking about planting one on someone's hip, you know, putting one on the rear end.
It's not the worst idea I've heard, but it might be top five.
Okay.
No, I don't like that idea. I mean, I think
I don't
if
like
you're,
it either.
I think – I know. I think if you are the Cubs and you're going into this series and you have this sort of – underlying expectation, I don't want to call it a fear, you're not afraid, but you don't want this to, you don't want to make this worse, right? You don't want this to escalate. You'd like to see it sort of, all right, let's just play hard. Let's just play competitively.
Put one on someone's gluteus before they can hit Wilson. And then when the warning, then when the warning's out there, hopefully their guy gets hit when he hits Wilson.
Wow. Well, see, That would make sense from the standpoint if you're being preemptive and you do expect it to happen. Maybe, I won't say top five, top 15 worst ideas.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. As long as I'm not one of the worst ideas, I'll take 15. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. 312-644-6767. Joe is in Antioch. Morning, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, fellas. Great show as usual. I got to tell you, I don't like going old school. But at this point, I think the league has left you no alternative. Because if the umpires don't like Contreras for whatever reason and are letting him get hit, that's on the league. And a bigger question I have, where is teammates? At some point, they need to get off the bench and show these other teams that whatever the manager decides, whatever the league is going to allow, we ain't gonna sit still for it. I mean, I'm sorry to go old school. I don't like doing it either, but I think you have no alternative. Now, I understand why Rizzo gets hit, because he does crowd the plate. And you got to realize when you do that, you're going to get hit. But there's no reason for the league to continue to allow this nonsense to go on. If they want to clean the league up of this old school chin music type nonsense, then enforce the rules equitably. That's what officials, umpires, referees are supposed to do. Eliminate unfair advantages for teams because it's unsafe for everyone involved. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Good phone call.
Good call. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got to get back to this, and we will, but we're going to shift gears. We're going to bring in Bill Wennington. We're going to talk about the Bulls and where they are at this point, and are we seeing resurgence, stall, or are they going the other way? These are legitimate questions after their two losses since last we reconvened. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Marketed, in play to Levine. Levine against Okogie, comes up shooting, short, hit front rim, rebound Minnesota, and there's a foul in backcourt, or they throw it ahead, and this ball game is over. The officials wave it off and say this game is over. And the final 121-117 in favor of Minnesota.
You know, I thought we were just okay on offense, to be honest with you. I mean, I thought we could have been better. We shot the ball well. We share it. We did that. I just thought there was a lot. We could have made the game a lot easier for each other, you know, personally. You know, I thought the difference there for us offensively was our inability to get to the free throw line, you know, and their ability to get there. You know, defensively, we tried to mix up some things in terms of trapping Russell and trapping Edwards. You know, we pretty much tried to trap Towns every time down in low. I think I didn't see all their numbers, but I'm sure they were probably evenly balanced scoring-wise because, you know, we were forcing some of those guys to try to pass. But, you know, I just thought the fouling really, really hurt us, you know, immensely.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR for the highlight. And you heard Billy Donovan there, and we are delighted to welcome in Bill Wennington, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Bill.
Gentlemen, I am doing well as far as I can be here on a cloudy, drizzly day in Chicago in April.
And, you know, I got to tell you, we're doing fine, too. But yesterday was like an awful sports day. There was a lot of bad baseball and bad results. And then the Bulls come on and you're thinking, you know, OK, this is a get back healthy game after that horrible game in Atlanta where Bill, I don't know how that happens, but it looked like they're up 5 with 7 minutes left or something. And then it was like, OK, we're done. That's the end of this game. Wait a minute. Finish it, fellas. And unfortunately, you lose two in a row. I don't know that I thought when they won three in a row, and I know they caught some teams at the right time, but I thought they were playing better, and I thought we had decided that it was the big run to get into the playoffs, not the play-ins. And unfortunately, that was a really rough loss. Wasting Zach LaVine's 50 and then to turn around and have what happened last night happen, that's just going to leave a mark.
You know what? You're right. It does, and I'm disappointed. Although before this trip, I was asked, you know, you got 5 games on the road. How do you think we're going to play? I said, you know what? We're playing really better, but if you go by the record of what this team has done pretty much the whole year, winning 3 of 5 right now on this road trip would be about par for the course. Not that I'm happy with 3 or 5. I really think we could have won all 5, and I think we should be 4-0 right now. We gave away the Toronto game. We became the Zach LaVine team and get Zach the ball, let Zach win the game, and let Zach get 50, 60, 70 points, however many he needs to get. And the rest of the guys kind of forgot how to play for a little while. A game we should have won. We gave it away in the second half. You're right. And the same with last night. You know, we won the second half 62-55. It was the first half that we lost 66-55. We came out flat in the first quarter, turning the ball over. Billy Donovan kind of takes out all the starters early, and with about 6 minutes to go, he has the whole bench in the game. And that second quarter where the Bulls gave up 37 points defensively last night, in my mind, that's the game, because we could not recover from that. And offensively, I agree with Billy Donovan, the bit you played before, that we played all right. We averaged 113 points a game, but we scored 117 points, even with guys not playing well. Williams didn't score. Larry Markkanen didn't only had 8 points. We still got above our average in points. But defensively, you know, we've been giving up 113 points, and we allowed them to score 121 points. And the problem is they only average 110. So defensively, I don't think we did as great a job as we could have done. Go ahead.
Billy Donovan agrees with you, Bill, and he said that we have a hard time physically, a lot of times, controlling the ball, both the guards and the bigs. We just do. There's no way around it. So I ask you this. Is that essentially Billy Donovan publicly calling his team soft defensively?
Well, I don't know if he's calling the team soft. I mean, controlling the ball could mean a couple of things. Just your decision-making offensively, your turnovers. Again, last night, not a lot of turnovers. We have 14 turnovers, but we had two key turnovers in the fourth quarter, one where the ball bounces off Zach LaVine's hands, goes out of bounds, and the other one was the pass down low to Vooch. The ball gets tipped. He tries to catch it, and it just goes off his head. We'd gotten the game back down to 1 point in the fourth quarter and just couldn't hang on, couldn't turn that corner. And again, not a lot of mistakes, but key mistakes at key times in the game just makes it difficult to overcome a team. And, you know, Minnesota was inspired last night. I mean, they played well. Towns was playing terrific. How about the three-point shooting of Rubio? You know, he was 3 of 29 from three-point line. His 29 attempts, four of 29 in his previous 8 games. He goes out and makes 5 last night. And it's just little things like that where you let guys go and have big games against you. And you just can't do that defensively.
You know, and Bill, last week, Billy Donovan came out and he basically said that Lauri Markkanen and Coby White have to understand that basically, we're not calling plays for them anymore, that they got to find their place in this offense, and we're not going to build an offense around them. I thought it was a very fair comment on a team that has two guys that can score a ton of points and can do a lot. And, you know, you're putting guys on notice. Hey, go be aggressive, get your points. That's the way I heard it. Apparently, Lauri Markkanen wasn't listening. I don't understand. Here's a guy that's heading into, you know, restricted free agency and has a chance to knock one out of the park. And I just haven't seen it from him. And I don't know why. I don't know that he doesn't fit in with what they have. But, he hit a big three-pointer at one point, and then you don't see him again. He's not shooting the ball. He's not taking opportunity. He has to go get it a little bit.
Being a guy that, since he left college, didn't have plays called for him, and you have to try and figure it out. It's different. And you're 100% right. You got to go and find yourself offensive rebounds. You got to understand what the offense is doing, and most of all, you got to pay attention to what the defense is doing. Because if your man leaves to go double team Zach or Vooch while you're on the floor, yeah, you can be a spot-up shooter because Lowry's a pretty good three-point shooter, but you also got to get the easy ones. And a lot of times that's moving, cutting to the basket, diving, and that's really what Billy's offense has been. And he's got the guys moving so much better 90% of the time. Last two games, they've become a little bit stagnant. Obviously, in the Atlanta game, guys were watching Zach and didn't want to crowd the floor on Zach, but you still got to run the offense. You still have to do the right things because all the outlet passes are going to be the same if you keep doing the same things. Once you stand still, now if Zach can't shoot the ball and no one's moving, he's got nothing else to do but shoot a shot that maybe is not the best shot. Same with Vooch. So Lowry's got to figure it out that, one, he's got to get offensive rebounds, get easy putbacks. Two, maybe he's got to get out in the fast breaks more and be the lead guy and get down on the wings quicker. and find different ways to score the basketball right now, because it is different. I mean, it's great when the plays get called for you and you get a lot more touches, but he's got to figure that out.
Along the same lines, Bill, I think with guys kind of redefining their roles after the big trade, you know, Patrick Williams, fourth overall pick in the draft, and by many accounts, he has had a pretty good rookie season. Defensively, certainly he has risen to the occasion on more than once. But like last night, he just seemed a little lost. I mean, it's 26 minutes. He did not have a point, did not have an assist. He had one rebound, so he's barely making an impact on things as they happen. What has happened to him? Is he just going to have some of those nights as a rookie, or do you think that he's still kind of, like you referenced Markin, still trying to find out what his role is with this new team?
Well, I think it's the first. He's a rookie, and we're getting into the season now. We've played 52 games. He's played a lot more games than he's played last year or ever, actually, in his life. And they're competitive. You're traveling a lot. It's the ending of 4 games and 5 nights, but also the beginning of 5 games and 7 nights for him. And this is so different. And as a rookie, you're going to hit the wall. You're going to come up, and sometimes your body's just not going to respond because you're not used to it. So I'm cracking it up to that, because I think he's played well enough and has figured out what he needs to do. He has not been a guy where a lot of plays are getting called for him. He's been a guy that's been running the offense, getting offensive rebounds, playing great defense, cutting hard to the rim, finishing strong at the rim. His mid-range game has been terrific, understanding what the defense is doing to him, where he can put the ball on the floor, stop between 8 and 12 feet from the basket and get a little jump shot wide open. And I think last night's just going to be one of those games that you have to chalk up to being a rookie and your body just not being used to or able to sustain that effort for the whole season.
Bill, just curious, what stands out as success for this season to you? Is it getting to the play-in type thing here, which they're in 10th place and they're holding on to it? You know, just being a part of that mix. Do they have to get into the playoffs, kind of the, you know, get through it if they're in the last four? What looks like success for you?
For me, getting into the playoffs is success. And I thought before the trade, getting into the play-in game would be good enough. But now with the trade, I think we're much better. We're starting to come together. We're starting to play more consistent basketball, but we're still not there yet. And the last two games are proof. We just make mistakes coming down the stretch. We really forget who we are or try to do things that maybe we're not. And I'm not taking anything away from Zach. Zach had a phenomenal game, was playing great. But we watched in Chicago, I wasn't here at the time, but you watched Michael Jordan for 7 years. Be the scoring champ and scoring 30 plus points every single night, and you weren't winning championships. And when all of a sudden you get the team around and they start playing team ball, sure, Michael was still scoring in the high 20s, but he was utilizing the whole team to start winning championships. And that's, if you go back and look at the Atlanta game, that first quarter, I thought I think Zach had 14 points in the first quarter, but the ball was moving everywhere. Guys were touching it. We had, I think, I don't remember the exact number, but we had a lot of assists in that first quarter. And I want to say it for some reason, 11 sticking in my head, but, or maybe that was the first half, but just the ball was moving, guys were cutting, and the offense looked so smooth and crisp, and everything was, Atlanta just didn't know what hit them. They couldn't keep up with them every time they rotated. And that's when this team is playing really good basketball, and they look so good at times. And then at other times they start to get a little stagnant, and it's just having that ability to play a 48 minutes of solid basketball.
Great stuff.
Thanks, Bill.
Really appreciate
good stuff.
It.
My pleasure, guys. Always a good one. Getting me up early in the morning on a day after a game, but I'll do it for you guys.
Hey Bill, do you hold the camera for Chuck when he dances, or what is that? How does that work?
No, I'm usually next to him laughing.
Okay.
It's good. I hope he, Chuck is great. He's got great energy, and he's having a lot of fun, and he wears the Bulls on his sleeve every night, so it's fantastic.
It's awesome. Thanks,
thank
Bill.
You, Bill. Cheers, mate. That's great stuff.
All right,
that's
guys.
Bill Weddington, and we did. We forced him to get up the night after a game. That's quite a monumental task. God bless him. That's fun.
Yeah, that is fun. And so is Swirsk's post-game victory dances. And he hasn't done it now in a while, so maybe that changes because the Bulls need a victory.
312-644-6767 is the number. We got to get back to some baseball talk. And, I'm getting criticized for calling for a preemptive rear end shot. And, okay, I mean, I take it. I'll wear it. I said it. But I'm worried about Willie's overreactions, or his reactions seem like overreactions. And I got to be honest with you, David, I do think that the officials are taking that into account. I think it's hard not to when a guy looks like he's going to charge the mound and then ends up kind of sliding into someone. I think it's – and I know there was no contact. I didn't say there was, but he slid into the guy. 312-644-6767, Mullie and Hall on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Oh, man, I've been getting hit more than anybody in the game, I think. It's really frustrating. I'm not blaming anybody. But what frustrates me the most is that if you have a guy that can go in or can pitch in, why you keep calling the same pitch and try to get somebody hurt? I got hit in my head against the Brewers, and then the next day I got hit in my shoulders. And then the MLB just fined me for $7,500 that they said that I broke COVID rules. But in my criteria, I was trying to defend my health because I think that the hit by pitch to the head could have ended my career. That's something that they had to check. That's something that they have to see and feel. They can't think as lawyers. They can't think as MLB commissioner. I think they have to think for the players. So they have to take care of the batters, but because we're getting hit a lot.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Wilson Contreras. And he's talking about the fact that he feels he's getting hit too much. And batters are getting hit too much. He also was fined $7,500 for his reaction to being hit the second time by the Milwaukee Brewers. And that was the one that he got hit in the shoulder, and everybody came out. He got upset, and it ended up with everyone. There wasn't a big fight, but everybody came out in kind of reaction to that. And we are still in COVID protocols. And I know, and it's a good thing that more and more teams are getting vaccinated. The White Sox have 90% of their team vaccinated now, so that is a good thing to hear. But Wilson Contreras is talking about his health versus the COVID protocols.
Okay, so I think, first of all, the COVID protocols, congratulations. It's great the White Sox did what they did, but really, I mean, that's what they should be doing, right? So they issue a press release. They want people to know. I get it. I understand it. But that's what people should be expecting from these professional sports teams, to set an example, and it's the right one. As far as Contreras is concerned, I understand why he's ticked off. I mean, he has had 25 plate appearances this year, I believe, and he's been hit three times. And against the Brewers, you look at that streak, and I think it's six times in the last 12 games. And this is happening quite a bit with Wilson Contreras. There probably are reasons for that. Teams are starting to think that you can get inside his head, that he is somebody you can agitate. I don't doubt that. He's going to have to adjust to that. That's going to be a fact of life. He's going to have to figure out how to not let that get in the way so it affects either the judgment of umpires, as I think it probably contributed to yesterday, and also it doesn't affect his own performance. You don't want him so concerned about, oh boy, they're out to get me. And maybe some people can use that as motivation or a drive or an edge, but there's a balance there in moderation, Mully, that I don't think he wants to be so locked in on that possibility every time that he lets his emotions get the best of him. And it's been the same thing with him since he's come up back in 2016.
And therefore, David, just knowing that, is there a competitive advantage for an opponent to hit Wilson Contreras? I'm not suggesting that you just are throwing at him. I'm not suggesting that teams are strictly doing that because they know he's going to come unraveled. I'm just asking, if teams do know that, if a team like the Brewers has hit him, what is it, 11 times, should you not try to figure out something in terms of preventing him from either getting hit or preventing him from responding in the way he does when he is hit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Think about other sports. Think about the comparisons. If you know that you're going to rattle a quarterback by maybe a little bit of extracurricular contact after he releases, you're going to risk the penalty to do that because it's worth throwing off his performance and making him uneven mentally. Then so you want to do that. So Wilson Contreras is now, by acknowledging this a little bit, by wondering aloud that, boy, you know, I wonder if that was the case at second base in that slide. Yeah, he's invited every pitcher that's on the mound facing Wilson Contreras to try to, you know, to pitch him tight, to pitch him high and inside. I don't know about hitting him necessarily, but you certainly don't want to back down from him. That's going to be a fact of life, Mully, and I think it's on him to deal with that and to not let that escalate. So I guess that's why I wouldn't be in favor of the Cubs trying to, you know, preemptively get ahead of this, because I do wonder if it would just make a bad situation worse.
And I think that's a fair thing to wonder. But if you are allowing a competitive advantage to an opponent, then it seems to me you only have a couple of choices. One is not play Wilson Contreras against the Brewers, which I don't think that's a good choice. Or two, go ahead and make a preemptive strike against them so that hopefully there's some sort of warning issued, and maybe if they end up hitting him, they're the ones. This is the problem if you believe this is some form of conspiracy. I'm thinking of not so much I'm thinking of the player, the fact that you need him, the fact that he's rattled by this, the fact that he's expecting it, and when it happens, God knows what he's going to do.
Or C, just accept the reality that you have helped create. Take your base when they hit you. Take that competitive advantage and realize that ultimately this will stop when you start making them pay for putting you on base for nothing. And that you can't fall into, I think, what is a trap. I mean, yeah, the Brewers, it is odd, 11 games that they've hit him six times. That's too many. And maybe you want to obviously keep an eye on that, and they haven't done a good job of policing that themselves. You could talk about that to death. But I think that if you try to get in front of that by playing that game by hitting Lorenzo Cain, for instance, or whoever it is that you've identified as the guy to retaliate against, I don't know that you're ever going to solve this the situation or make it any better. It's just going to continue to escalate and to go on and on and on.
Yeah, Dustin's get it. Dustin says, throw first, let them throw second and get kicked out. That's basically what I'm saying. My fear is if you don't go first, then they're going to go first, and then you're not going to be able to do whatever you're talking about in terms of retaliation. I don't know how often you're going to sit down Wilson Contreras, explain to him that he has to go to first base and not respond, and then he's going to wonder, well, how many times do I have to do that? Well, just to five times. Try it five times, and if it doesn't work, then if they don't stop throwing at you, then we'll jump in.
So
I think he's already on the precipice here. I think he's already.
So throw the first punch, start the fight, and then hope that they get the guy who retaliates and deals with him and puts the tucks on him.
That's hockey, okay. Baby. Right? Isn't that part of one of the
things? In a way, you've just described hockey, though, a physical in-your-face, you know, shift by shift. It's about toughness. It's about – yeah, I don't know if that's baseball. I understand what you're saying. Logically, you can defend it. I just would – I don't have a – I don't feel comfortable advocating that. I just don't.
That's baseball, baby. It doesn't really have the same ring.
No, it doesn't. Nice try, Kaner.
We'll bring Dan and Layla into the conversation next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.